For the last many months, my spirit has been in turmoil, and it has to do with this topic that I'm going to share with you. I'd like you to begin with me in Genesis chapter 1. And I have wrestled with different aspects of this, asking the Lord in a public arena, how do you want my role to look? I believe that it's time for our young people to hear this word because of certain things that are happening in society. And I believe, young people, that this will give you kind of a foundation or a stability on one particular subject, but it's going to branch out to many things that become so strong in your life. Christ in the Church is the title that I give to you. And the verse that I want to read to you is chapter 1, verse 27. If you'll look at that. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. I have watched throughout my young Christian life, as I recognized, and I narrow it down to the first three chapters of Genesis, but I find the complete gospel is found in the first parts of Genesis. You will find that the whole counsel of the truth, from Genesis to Revelation, you will find the foundation and the strength of all truths. You will find them peppered throughout just these verses throughout the Scripture. And verse 27 of chapter 1 is one of those ideas that God has placed in creation that has given us the opportunity to understand His heart and to understand His purpose. I want to encourage you, as I have done in my own Christian life, is I have built a foundation of my life on this very idea of what we just read in here. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. I now want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Brian and Sherry Tromley have been teaching a marriage class in the back. We've had great participation. Wonderful class, beautiful foundational truths that many of you are beginning to apply. What I want to do is, particularly for those of you who are in the class, this is going to be another foundation that sits underneath you in terms of all that means that makes all things right in terms of all these things that you're being taught over the years. If your foundation is not this, then you will struggle with a marital relationship at a lot of different levels. If you do not understand what it was that God has intended from the very beginning, that the marriage covenant would be a type of a relationship that He has with His church. As we look at Ephesians and all those verses that you have read and all those teachings that have come by words of submission and words of love, I want you to read with me these verses in Ephesians 5 from the perspective of what I just read to you out of Genesis. I want you to remove your selfish behavior. I want you to remove your independent spirit. I want you to remove your ideas on what you think life should look like. And I want you to surrender yourself to the reality that we have a genius, sovereign God that has created a process in order to show the world what His relationship with the church is supposed to look like. While you're looking in Ephesians, I'm going to read Genesis to you again. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. Verse 22 of Ephesians 5. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with the water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it just as Christ does the church, for we are members of his body. And for those of you who are not married yet, young men in particular, you listen to these words as I read them to you. Because I know in a youthful desire for relationship or for marriage or for family, sometimes we get ourselves quickly distracted by a grander purpose. And I realized that at the age of 20, 21, when I was going into this relationship and this covenant, I had no clue as to what the depth of it meant. And I thank God that he's been so patient with us as we've been able to figure this out over time. But what we get the opportunity to do, whether it be in Brian and Sherry's class or from this pulpit, we get the privilege of telling you that there is a grander vision that God has always had for your relationship. And young people, listen to me. The world is telling you something very different than what I'm telling you. The world will tell you that relationship is what is best for you. It's deceptive. You will ask the question, what is it that I want? What is it that I'm looking for? How is it that I can be fulfilled? It begins on a foundation of perversion from the very beginning. And to some, it might be too grandiose to imagine outside of that in your youthful experience. But I'm telling you, there is something that is very real. This sermon is not only for those who will be married. This sermon is for those of you who have been married. And in some cases, some of you who have been married for a long time, and yet in your spirit, you still live in a state of rebellion against this truth that is found in Genesis. Your whole relationship has been consumed in a selfish behavior. But there are those of you who have fought the fight, and I don't mean husband-wife battle. You have kept the faith. And you have given the Holy Spirit opportunity to use your life and your marriage as a model of creation itself and the relationship that Christ has with the church. Let me read verse 31. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. And Paul says, this is a profound mystery, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. The covenant of marriage has always been intended to be a type of God the Father and his bride, the church. The spirit of our society is on a rampage right now. The spirit of the Antichrist is trying to disrupt the church in our hearts and our passion, and trying to take that fire and that idea out, that certain language would be politically incorrect for us to use. And I want you to stand with me, every one of you in this place, that you belong to this congregation. I am inviting you to stand up in unison with me and say enough is enough. But it's not just about our language. It's about our lifestyle. It's not just about what we say in the workplace. It's about what we live in the home that's going to really make the difference. In Leviticus chapter 20, don't turn there. I want you to make a notation in your head. Leviticus chapter 20. Because I want you to take the time sometime this week, sometime today, and read Leviticus 20. It will it's got appalling statements in it, as it has to do with our sexuality. God is talking about the punishment of sin and what it looks like. And he's telling his people, consecrate yourself and be holy, because I, the Lord your God, am holy. Keep my decrees and follow them. I am the Lord who makes you holy. And then he begins to go through the list of sexual behaviors. If a man commits adultery with another man's wife, with the wife of his neighbor, both the adulterer and the adulteress must be put to death. This is like serious stuff. He begins to talk about if a man sleeps with his father's wife, if a man sleeps with his daughter-in-law, if a man lies with a man as one lies with a woman. If a man marries both a woman and her mother, I'm just skipping through it here. If a man has sexual relationships with an animal. What? That's our reaction. Our reaction is no. That's the thing that happens in the darkest places of human culture and society. How many of you would have thought 10 years ago that at every level of American society, we would be talking about the homosexual relationship as normal? It is not normal. It is a deviation from what God has intended to be true. The battle is not against those who are caught in this sin. The battle is against the darkness that continues to bend our hearts to make us to believe that maybe it is okay. The battle that we deal with is the people that are caught in this sin are, listen to me, some of these people are very loving, family-building, community-involved, productive citizens, and all they're looking for is to love somebody. If you have a conversation with many of them who are caught in this darkness, you will find that that is the language. And no, it's not the church's place to beat them down. It's the church's place to be the deliverer of truth. And I want to share with you just a couple of thoughts in a few minutes as to what that would look like. But let me reinforce with you exactly what I've been talking about. Romans chapter 1, turn there real quick. I want to try and wrap this up in about 10 minutes if I can. So let's move quick. And what I want, what I'm asking of you is as you build your spiritual arsenal, I want you to, if you don't already have these verses written down, I want you to write them down. I want you to get them from me or somebody else. And I want you to mark them in your Bible and start a process of memorizing these scriptures, so that you understand how you can stand against this particular. And whether you are young, teenagers, children, listen, you've got to start building this in your heart, because the world is going to try and convince you that it's okay because it's good people that are caught in the sin. If this whole subject is just about people loving one another, which is what the world has tried to make it, then the argument is there that you cannot win. But if the foundation of this subject has to do with a sovereign God, a creative God, who had an intention when he created him, male and female, he created them. If my foundation is there, then that is where my argument is. My argument is not about some social thing that seems right over time as we evolve as a people. My argument is based on the fact that I have given my life to a sovereign God who has a type that he has in human experience that gives an exact image in a mirror of what his relationship looks like to his church. Why do you think that hell is trying to destroy the idea of the covenant of marriage? Because if the covenant of marriage can be disrupted and destroyed, there will no longer be that image that mankind can see. Verse 18 of chapter 1. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Since what may be known about God is plain to them, listen, because God has made it plain to them, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, who did he create? Him. Male and female, he created them. His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. We have always interpreted this scripture as to have to do with God's creation, the trees and the plants. Yes, it involves that. But what was the very good part of his creation? Huh? We were. Yes, the trees and the flowers, yes, they are images. But there is a greater image than a flower growing. And that is a married couple, man and woman, who have given their lives to one another as a sovereign covenant experience of what it looks like between Christ and the church. That's good stuff. And that's the truth. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. Did you hear that first part? They knew God. Okay? This is what the last days are going to look like. There are those behind pulpits. There are those in churches who are justifying, who are promoting a homosexual agenda. The churches are beginning to do that. It's heresy of God's foundations. But their thinking became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles. Remember the image of God? Do you remember where he placed his image? Do you remember the verse? Therefore, God gave them over into the shameful, sinful desires of their hearts, to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. Because of this, God gave them over to shameful lust. Even their women exchanged natural relationships for unnatural ones. In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relationships with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committing indecent acts with other men and receiving in themselves the due penalty for their perversion. It's a deviation. It's a deviant lifestyle. When I say deviant, I'm talking about deviation from the truth. That's the tragedy. I'm not asking you to be mad at somebody. I'm asking you to feel sorry for them. I'm asking you to pray and intercede that the spirit of this bondage will be broken in their lives. The last verse I'm going to read to you is 1 Corinthians 9:11. I have it typed out, so it says, "Do not know, Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? 1 Corinthians 9 through 11, write that one down. I'm not going to go to it. But it's saying, it's giving a description of those who will not inherit the kingdom of God. And it very specifically is talking about those who are found in this kind of sexual immorality. It does not isolate itself just to homosexuality. It is also talking of all sexual perversions. For those young people that are within the sound of my voice, if you are caught in pornography, I'm telling you, you better stop it now. If you cannot stop it now, then you find a godly man that you can talk to that can help you out of this bondage, because it will destroy your life and you will never have the opportunity to live this kind of type if you are caught up in it. To the young people that are living a sexual experience outside of a marriage covenant, you need to stop it now. Because it will bring a perversion to your soul, and you will never have that invitation or that opportunity to walk this kind of a righteous behavior. For those of you who are in a marriage, and yet your life looks like you are two married single people, your life and your spirit is in violation to the truth that He has intended for your marriage. And at that point, it does not matter what comes out of your mouth, because people are watching your life. Let me ask you just a quick question, please. Please, could you come up here? Pretty please. Honestly, for those of you who have known us for a long time, our lives do not walk in perfection. We have things that we would never share with you guys because it would be embarrassing of the stuff that we have gone through and worked through and all that stuff. But let me ask you this. Does this relationship not validate what I tell you from this pulpit? Does it? Does it validate it? I think it does. I think what God has done in these two very weak people is we have committed to the covenant of that relationship. Is God has multiplied our lives, it feels like 1,000 times over. And the word itself becomes empowered because we understand what Genesis meant in the first place. Thanks be. And I'm saying we are not the only ones. Throughout this church, there are those who have committed to the same covenant. And you see the evidence in their lives as well. So what is going to be our response? What do we do here? How do we deal with those who are trapped in the homosexual lifestyle? First of all, I'm encouraging you to start opening your mouth with the spirit of love, okay? Because I'm telling you, there's hardly going to be any of us who are not going to be touched by this subject in some ways. It's going to be family members, it's going to be neighbors, it's going to be co-workers, it's going to be all around us. Currently, it is our young generation that is being desensitized at such an alarming rate. Because they are being pummeled at every single level of society. Our schools are telling them that their thinking of an exclusive marital relationship between a man and a woman is outdated and perversive. How do you twist the words of God so dramatically? So, as we find ourselves exposed to these things, and we will find ourselves exposed to them, I'm telling you that the foundation of what we start with is love. It has to be love. And here's what I'm telling you. Love, do not accept the sin. Love the individual. Do not in any form accept the sin of it. And I'm saying be vocal. What do I mean by being vocal? Kids, teenagers, moms and dads, stop standing silent. stop standing there as if you don't know what to do or say. I am going to tell you in a nugget what to do and what to say. I'm not telling you to fight this battle with the words of love and relationship and all that. They're not going to understand that. I'm not even suggesting to you that you're going to win the battle. Your responsibility is to speak the truth. Let the truth win the battle. The sad part about it is truth will either bring deliverance or it will bring judgment. Don't forget that part of it. I'm not saying that you are to judge them. I'm not saying that you are to condemn them. I'm saying for each one of us, as we hear truth, and if we reject truth, that very truth is the very thing that will judge our lives. We will stand accountable for what we have heard. I am telling you, church, listen to me. What you have to do is define the mystery. What mystery am I talking about? For this reason, will a man leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. I'm speaking a mystery, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. That is your foundation right there. When I argue against this sin, what I will tell them is I will tell them, listen to me, the foundation on which I have built my life, the reason that I believe so much in a covenant between a man and a woman is because I believe that in the beginning God created a covenant with his people. And God set himself up as the groom. And God set his church up as the bride. It was God's idea. It was his plan. And then what he did was he invited Adam and Eve to walk out that model. And throughout the ages, he gave men and women the opportunity to walk out that model or to live in a sinful state and walk in rejection of that model that he has given us. You start the argument there and maybe just leave it there. You need to let them understand that a covenant between a man and a woman was God's idea, not man's. It didn't start off with some cultural preference. It started off with a seed from the heart of a sovereign God. If they refuse to believe in a sovereign God, then they will never believe this truth anyways. But it doesn't mean that you don't share it. So open your mouth. I've already talked to you about personal purity, both in and outside of the covenant. There needs to be a sweeping purification that happens in the church. There's young couples right now that are not married. You better make a covenant with one another before you leave this place, a covenant of purity. Because do not misunderstand the truth. Just because God does not judge you immediately doesn't mean judgment will not come. But the Bible is clear that those who live in sexual immorality intentionally, willfully will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's the verse. Read it, 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Read it. Holiness outside of marriage and holiness in marriage. Okay, communion. What does all of this have to do with communion? It's got everything to do with communion. I know with all of my heart, that this is what needs to happen in this place today. There needs to be some deliverance that happens in some of your lives, some of your marriages, and some of you individuals who are single yet, who are struggling with issues within your own marriage or within your own life, and those of you who are struggling within your own marriage. There needs to be a new commitment to something that is absolutely real. When God said, I created him, male and female, I created them. A commitment to that once and for all. A fresh wind of God's Spirit moving over my heart. recommitting ourselves to the mystery. Even if you're single, commit yourself to the mystery. Young men, prepare yourself to leave your father and mother and prepare yourself to be that groom that that bride needs. She needs a holy man who will watch over her and cover her and lead her to the Lord in so many different facets. Young women, your type is to be a type of the church and to set herself aside for righteousness' sake. Do that. I am not suggesting to any of you that it's easy. In some of your cases, it will be the hardest thing you ever do, because in some of your cases, you have already woken up sexual temptation. And it's really tough to put it back in the box. But with God's help, He will help you. And young men and young women, find some mature Christians again. Find some older men and women. Find them. Let them be your covering. If you don't have parents that you can talk to and work through these issues, find somebody that's going to hold you accountable for that. And so that's what I'm asking in this place, that as we prepare to take communion, I have this image in my head that at least spiritually, what's got to happen is, as husband and wife sit side by side, there's some of you that are as divided as the Red Sea was. You were separated. And I'm saying, I've been praying yesterday and this morning, as saying, God, please just do a sovereign thing in us. And that sovereign work is that you would recommit yourself to this magnificent covenant that God has offered to His people. Some of you are so distracted by the processes of life that you have totally lost the idea of intimacy in a beautiful covenant relationship. And I realize, okay, there's already some of you that are married and you already know that your spouse is not all in. Don't you dare use that as an excuse. Don't you dare. Because you will lose something if you do. You have your side of the equation that you have to walk in purity. If you are a woman, God has spoken commandments to you as to what your life should look like. If you are a man, God has spoken to you as to what your life should look like. And He gives you no excuse. None. So don't try and find one. Young people, some of you need to make a covenant before the Lord. Because what's happening, the song that we heard back in the 60s and 70s, as far as it had to do with sexuality, is how can something that feels so good be so wrong? That's the phrase. The deceptiveness of it is, and if you are a young person and you have experienced any form of sexual activity, let me ask you a simple question. How do you feel when it's done? Something feels wrong. I promise you. Something feels empty. Something feels void. You know what it is? It's the lack of the presence of God Himself. And I'm saying you don't have to do that. You don't have to live that way. I don't care what this world is telling you and teaching you. It does not have to look that way. And I'm asking for a corporate time when this body of people, we will stand up together and say enough is enough. And the way that we are going to battle even the issue of sexual sin doesn't begin with us picketing out in front of our church with signs that say homosexuality is a violation, it's a deviant lifestyle. The way that we're going to battle the spirit is by living the righteousness of a holy covenant within. That will validate and empower our words. Young people, You will never talk to another young person about homosexuality unless you are walking in purity. Guaranteed. Wow. I got so much. But I feel like I've given what I needed to give this morning. So, how do we respond? I want to see marriages healed. I want to see young people given over to purity. You know, young people, they talk about purity rings. Get something that shows a sign that you've made a commitment today. If you made a commitment, young person, for purity, or even if you're an older adult that's not married, get yourself a ring or something that you can use as a symbol that you look at every day, that you have committed yourself to this holy calling that God has called His people to. In the beginning, God created. It was His idea, not ours. Father, please. Sometimes I feel like I just scratch the surface of the magnificence of Your truth, but I'm asking, Lord, that You would do a deep work within this body of people. There are churches and there are pastors who are validating sin, even this morning, now on a global scale. We have those who are walking in their robes and their collars and their suits, and they are telling the church world that the church world needs to get progressive, and we need to start accepting it. We come against that demonic presence. And we ask, Lord, that You would never allow it to infiltrate us, and that we will always destroy the little fox that wants to destroy the vine. We will always keep the foundation of the truth before us, and we will watch as our Lord sets us free. And I'm speaking healing into this body right now in the name of Jesus Christ. In the life of young people and married, that they would find themselves set free and living out this beautiful covenant that You have offered. In Jesus' name, amen.